Welcome to Season 2, Episode 2 of the Student Alumni Council Podcast. I'm your host, Kai Schweitzer. Today, I am joined by White Castle CEO, Lisa Ingram. We will be touching on how career paths can change, what it's like to get an MBA, some lessons she has learned throughout her career, and what her path to becoming a CEO has looked like. Now, with that being said, let's get right into questions.
All right, so you went to school in Texas and then worked in Texas for a little bit, correct?
Yeah, I worked about 5 years after college in Texas for a computer supplies wholesale distributor.
So what made you want to pursue an MBA after that, and why did you choose Ohio State?
So I had moved back to Columbus to work in the family business in 97, I believe. And I had worked there for a couple of years. And I had always thought that I would want to get an MBA. I got my undergraduate degree in marketing and finance. And working at the small company that I went that I worked for in after college, and then coming to work for White Castle, a bigger organization, I was really curious about other parts of the business. And so I felt like if I could go get my MBA, I would be able to learn about other parts of business and either then decide to come back to White Castle or go do something else. And so I picked Ohio State because they obviously have a great program and very close to home. I had just bought my first house. So moving to go someplace else, there was a little bit of inertia there. And I was offered an internship with executive education that I was really interested in at Ohio State as well. And so I was looking forward to becoming an official Buckeye, even though I had grown up here my whole life. I didn't actually have the degree name behind my affiliation with Ohio State, so I thought that'd be cool.
Nice. So how did Ohio State's culture and community while you were there getting your MBA influence your personal and professional growth throughout your career?
So I met a lot of really amazing people, not only the faculty and the students, but also just the access to their alumni network. So I, at one of the first, I don't remember what it was, but it was one of the first things that we did as MBAs. We had the speaker come in, and her name was Tani Crane. And I didn't know anything about Tani, but through that process, I learned that she was in a family business and she grew up in Columbus and went away for college and worked after college someplace else in Chicago. And all of those things sort of ticked off very similar to what my experience was. And so I had the opportunity to go chat with Tani after that, when she did that thing for Ohio State for the Fisher College Business for the MBA program. And it was really cool. I got to meet her. And she and I became good friends. She's been a mentor to me for a really, really long time. And so I think having that ability to connect with great faculty, with great students that are in your program, but also great alumni was something that has certainly been influential to me in my professional and my personal life.
So that's one experience that's like benefited you from the MBA program. What are other experiences or knowledge that you gained during your time at OSU that you believe has helped you be successful in your career today?
Yeah. So when I think back about my experiences at Ohio State, some of the most important classes that I think I still use today are negotiations. I hope they still offer that class because it really is very, very beneficial on negotiations. All my classes on HR and organizational structure and strategy, those were probably the most impactful that I still use today as we think about, you know, where do we want to grow as an organization? How do we want to create a great culture for our team members? We've been awarded a great place to work for the last 4 years in a row from the National Great Place to Work organization, which is really exciting. And so thinking about culture, thinking about strategy, always being able to know what your BATNA is in your negotiation, all of those things really are still very applicable to what I do today. Some other things that I think helped certainly have helped me is I had an opportunity to go to Warsaw, Poland, and Budapest, Hungary for an international experience. And I had never been to either of those two places. And honestly, they weren't even on my list of places I wanted to go. But it was really, really cool to see those countries and to get to interact with businesses in those countries. That was a program they were offering when I was getting an MBA. And so I really learned a lot, and I got to have a whole new appreciation for that part of the world that I really hadn't thought of before as being innovative and being a part of the future. And so that was really impactful as well.
You just talked a little bit about some of the practical experience you gained going abroad. Or what role did internships and practical experience play in your career during your time at Ohio State?
Yeah, so I think internships are really, really important. I would encourage everybody to try to get one or more than one. So I had a couple of them. So during my summer between my first and my second year of my MBA, I had an opportunity to intern at Hewlett Packard in Boise, Idaho. Their marketing center was in Boise. I don't know if it's still there, but when I went through, it was in Boise, Idaho. So I got to go live in Boise, Idaho, which is another place that I never thought I would have lived in. And my role during my internship was to do a European channel strategy for a product that they were looking to introduce. And so I got to go to London and Berlin, Germany, which is just outside of Stuttgart. And that is where Hewlett Packard had their European marketing center, was in Berlin, Germany. So I got to see that. So again, just a wonderful experience. Internships are really, really good to help you get jobs. I did get a job offer from Hewlett Packard from my internship. But more than that, I also got to see how a very, very large publicly traded company works. And that was really impactful to me because when I got out of college, I worked for a small company that went public. And then I worked for a family business. I had also, during college, I had worked for the US government in DC. And now I got to work for a very large publicly traded company. And so getting an opportunity to experience all of those different cultures and all the different sizes of company and all the different management styles and bureaucracy and less bureaucracy was really, really impactful and helpful to me as I got through Ohio State and ultimately decided to come back to my family business. And so I think that that was a big learning experience for me. Also, while I was at Ohio State, I worked for about 20 hours a week, 15 to 20 hours a week in the executive education at Ohio State, Fisher College Business, which is really interesting. Again, another area that I didn't know anything about, that I had an opportunity to see how do they run executive education programs? What's the competition look like? How can Ohio State distinguish itself compared to all the other universities? What sort of programming can they innovate on? Really, really interesting stuff to me that, again, was another great experience that the Fisher College of Business offered that I was excited to be a part of and to learn from while I was studying to get my MBA.
Then looking back at your time at Ohio State, what advice would you give to students who are currently trying to balance academics, extracurricular activities, and networking while they're in school?
Yeah. And it's a tough balance, but all of them are really, really important. So especially if you're an undergraduate, you should have fun. College should be fun. And certainly I know there's lots of great fun things to do at Ohio State. You have a great opportunity to make a lot of really amazing friends that will be hopefully in your lives for many, many years to come. And why that's important is because relationships matter. And relationships matter not only for business reasons, but also for just human reasons and how we recharge and we reconnect. And you never know the 6 degrees of separation. So your best buddy from college may have a connection to somebody that could help you get a job or that could help you introduce you to funding for an idea that you have. So you never know where those connections can lead. So I would definitely encourage everybody to make sure that you are spending lots of time having fun and making great friends. But you do also need to really, really work on getting good grades, and being involved in activities that you're really, really interested in. Somebody can tell if you're not really excited about a club that you've joined or an activity that you're doing. So definitely make sure it's something that you're passionate about, that you care about, that you think rounds out your experience in some way. And also make sure to take advantage of the great resources that Ohio State offers. I talked about the story about Tanny Crane. There are lots of great speakers that come to Ohio State. There's lots of really interesting, amazing researchers. There's amazing faculty. There's lots of really cool things to do involved with athletics or the arts or internships or study abroad, all of those things. You should try and take advantage of as much of that as you are able to, because it's going to help you be really well-rounded, which will be great for when you have to interview for jobs, to be able to talk about all these different experiences, to talk about your passions and what you have done to fulfill your passions, whatever that may be. So I know it sounds like a lot and it is a lot, but they're all really, really important to make sure that you try to balance your academics, your extracurricular activities, your networking, and you should have lots of fun. Because this is a time in your life, especially for college, when you don't have as much responsibility as you will have after you have graduated. And so you should enjoy it, and you should make sure that you're able to have lifelong friends from those experiences.
Is there anything, looking back at your time, that you may maybe regret not doing or regret doing?
Yeah, I think the thing that I regret not doing is I did not study abroad, and I wish that I would have. It wasn't as prevalent as it is now, but it is something that I wish that I had an opportunity to do again. And if I could do over, that is something that I would spend, even if it's only, a few weeks, I would definitely have done that part differently.
What's something you did take advantage of that you really have felt has been beneficial to you?
So I think that and I don't know that I realized this right as I got out of college, it probably took me about 10 years to sort of realize this, is looking at what I, as who I am, and being really comfortable with who I am. And I think that was harder for women back in, the 80s and the 90s when I was getting out of college, to really be authentic to who we are. And I think that that's much easier now, which is great. But bringing your whole self to whatever organization that you're trying to join, I think is really, really important. That's a part of our culture that we really believe in, that everybody should be able to bring their whole self and all of their differences that make them unique and great people. If that's a good fit for our organization, we're really excited to have everybody bring them on their authentic selves. So as a leader, I think I didn't find my authentic voice until a little bit later. And I wish that I had had more courage probably to be more true to myself earlier in my career. But at that time, I was trying to move up and I was trying to mold myself into what I thought would help me do that. And so I think that it's better now, and people can be more authentic while not feeling like they may be sacrificing something if they're not authentic to who they are.
Like you just talked about being authentic, what are some of your personal attributes that you believe has led to you being successful?
So I've always been fairly ambitious. I've always also been sort of a control freak. Like, I want things to go the way that I want them to go. That's actually been beneficial to me, and it also can be a big detriment to me. So I've had to understand when it's appropriate for me to be in control and when I really should let others be in control. And that definitely has been something that I continue to work on and have worked on. I think also curiosity, my analytical skills, my presentation skills, my abilities to stand up in front of people and talk about the business, all of those I think are really important. And so for each of you, understanding what skills come naturally to you and how you can build off of those skills to put you in the best light. Because we certainly can learn other skills, but if you can be really excellent at the skills that come naturally to you, I think that's that allows you to be authentic, as I talked about before, and it also allows your passion and your emotion really to shine through in a more positive way, probably, than if you're trying to overcome something that's not as natural to you.
I know I struggle with this, but how did you learn to balance being a control freak and letting other people do things versus you figuring it out yourself?
Yeah, it's something that I've definitely learned. And I do have to remind myself of it, even to this day. I think what I do is I remind myself that I do not want to be the smartest person in the room. And if I don't want to be the smartest person in the room, I have to let others lead, because really, really smart people don't want to be, don't want to always be told what to do. They want to be creative. They want to express themselves. They want to try their ideas. And so how can I do that in a way that allows them to express themselves, be authentic, try their idea, even if I don't think it's that great of an idea, in a way that isn't putting the company at tremendous risk, but is allowing them to have the time, the resources, and the empowerment to do that. And it's tough. I think it's maybe easier as I've gotten further along in my career than it was when I started out in my career, because I was so focused on everything has to be exactly the way that I want. But then I remember early on when I was working for the company in Dallas, I was put in charge of the new product introduction, and I had a small team, and it was the first time I've ever managed a team. And I was really, really focused on being in control and wanting it exactly to be the way that I wanted it to. And I would say that I probably wasn't a great manager for that team. And I spent a lot of time, like I spent hours and hours and hours. There were many times that I worked 70, 80 hours a week because I wanted it done exactly the way that I wanted it. And my team would get frustrated with me and they'd be like, fine, I'm leaving. And I'd be like, but no, but we have to finish. They're like, well, you can finish. And so I literally would stay there and do it the way that I wanted it to. And it really was not, it was not the best environment that I was creating as a leader. It was not the best environment that I was creating probably for the product. The product turned out great, but it probably could have been much better if I had let my team members have more input, have more say, let them make more of the decisions. And so I learned that I've gotten better. I've gotten much better at that. But there still are times that I have to remind myself that I don't need to make this particular decision. Somebody else can make that decision. And probably if they make that decision, they'll feel more ownership for us. They'll be really, really excited for it. They'll engage their team in a way that's different. And it's very likely that the company will have a better result than if we had done it the way that I thought we should do it. So it's definitely a learned skill for me.
So that definitely sounds like a learning experience, being in that managerial role and doing everything yourself. What are some other moments, or just a moment at least, in your career that you believe has really made you who you are today?
Yeah. I don't know that there's one particular moment that sort of defined who I am today. I think it is a series of moments. So I talked about the example of when I was a manager and sort of really learning that my controlling personality was probably not the best way for me to be as a manager. That was one moment. Also early in my career of managing, I realized that I needed to manage people the way that they needed to be managed, not the way that I wanted to manage them. That was another particular moment. When I met Tani Crane, that was another particular moment. So I think in the course of your career, there will be moments of inflection and reflection. And my advice would be, make sure that you're capturing those and that you're learning from those. I try to journal at least, you know, two or three times a month to help me reflect and refine how I think about different ideas and how I might pivot in the future to react differently or to approach a situation differently. I'm the CEO of a company that has 10,000 team members. pretty big company, and I still get 360 degree feedback, which is great. My board of directors reviews me, the people that report to me review me, and I appreciate that. While I don't always like all the feedback that's in there, I do appreciate the fact that I am getting feedback on how I can improve over the course of my continued years working. And so I think you have to be open to the feedback. You have to be reflective of what you're learning, and you have to be curious about how you could do things better. And I think if you approach it that way, then it won't be just one moment. At least it wasn't for me. It might be for some people, but for me, it wasn't one moment. It was a series of different moments over the course of my career that I think have continued to shape me as I continue to move back. Even as simple as, you know, moving back, deciding to move back to Columbus, which I never thought that I would do when I was 18. I thought I was going to get out of Ohio and never look back. But I did end up coming back, and certainly very happy that I came back. But, you know, for me, it was a series of moments.
So then throughout your career, what has been some of the motivation that you've had to keep driving, keep growing, and how has that changed throughout your career?
Sure. So, as I said, I wanted to be able to do great things. When I left Ohio to go to college, I didn't think that I would come back. I actually thought that I'd be a lawyer and not really go into business. And that was another pivotal moment. I learned that I wasn't really good at writing, but I was really pretty good at numbers. And so that led me more towards a business career than a legal career. And I think that as we grow, our desires can shift. So early in my career, I was motivated to continue to move up the ladder, to continue to have new experiences, to continue to grow. That's why I moved back to Columbus and started working at White Castle, because I wanted to see what it was like to work in the family business. I then left to go get an MBA because I was curious about other parts of the business. I actually got my MBA in operations and consulting, which was different than my undergraduate, which was in marketing and finance. And most of my career prior to my MBA had been in marketing. And so I wanted to learn about other areas of the business. So, so my ambition has continued to make me curious and allow me to continue to move up throughout the organization. But when I started having a family, my priorities were I still had ambition to move up, but I also wanted to be a good wife, and I wanted to be a good mother. And I wanted to have a more balanced life, because I'd basically been working since I was 16, and work was really all I had. And so when I had kids, that sort of changed, and my priorities changed a little bit, where I wanted to still continue to work, but I also wanted to be around for my kids, because I have lots of memories of my dad being gone a lot. And I do travel for my job. And so I'm very cognizant of how much I travel, and if I can schedule my travel around some of my kids' activities, I really try to do that so that I'm back and able to see their sporting events or their plays or their concerts, whatever they're involved in. And then I think the last thing that I'll say is I had the desire to leave a legacy on my family business and in the community. And each generation of our family business, my great grandfather started White Castle. My grandfather got us into manufacturing. My dad got us into our retail business, which is all the sliders that we sell in grocery stores across all 50 states. And so the other thing that's been fueling me has been, what is my legacy going to be about? And how do I want to make my mark on the company for the next generations, hopefully, to reflect on and be proud of? And so that's something I'm still working on, but certainly that's been something that has been driving me through this part of my career.
You talk about wanting to leave a legacy on the community. I know you're involved in volunteer efforts in philanthropy. What are some of the things you are involved with, and what has inspired you to be a part of them?
Yeah. So I'll talk about the two that I'm involved with right now. There are others that I've been involved with, but the two that I'm involved with right now are Ohio Health and the Columbus Foundation. So Ohio Health, I'm actually the board chair for Ohio Health. I've been a volunteer on the board for the past 9 years, and I was just recently became chair at the beginning of this year. And so that was an organization that through my network, I was introduced to the CEO of Ohio Health, Dave Blum, and through our interactions in various other organizations that I had been involved in, whether that's Columbus Partnership or the United Way of Central Ohio, he had seen me work and he had seen my what I was able to achieve. And so he asked me if I would consider being on the board of Ohio Health. And I was like, really? Like a hospital system? I don't know anything about hospitals. And so I was really intrigued and I was really curious and certainly very honored to be asked. But I was a little bit worried. It's like, what skill set do I have that I'm going to be able to offer to a hospital system? And I, over the course of my tenure, 9 year tenure, I've realized that there's a lot of opportunities for hospital systems to improve their interactions with their customers. And we, as a hospitality company, do that a lot. And so there's a lot of synergies there. There's also a lot of synergies in managing multiple locations and how do you ensure that everybody's following the same protocols and the same rules. Obviously, that's super, super important in food safety and also in hospital settings. And so that's been a really fulfilling organization for me to be involved in, and I'm very honored to be the chair of the board now. The other organization is the Columbus Foundation, which is our local community foundation, which is actually, I think it's still in the top 10 largest community foundations in the country, which is very impressive for Columbus, Ohio. But through Columbus Foundation, I have been able to learn more about how many amazing nonprofits we have in Columbus and all of the great work that they are doing throughout our community to help those individuals who may need a hand up to help them achieve their greatest dreams. And so I've been honored to be on both of these organizations, and those are the two areas or the two philanthropy organizations that I am focused on right now.
What are some of the benefits that you've had personally, or even for White Castle as a company, from being a part of these boards?
Yeah, I think so. It's always been part of our family values is to be able to give back to the communities in which we operate. That was something that my great grandfather felt very strongly about. And it's always been something that has been passed down as a family value for us to be involved in the community that we operate. And so I really believe that this is a great opportunity for young people to get involved in organizations that they are passionate about. So that's the most important thing is finding something that you are passionate about, whether that's voting or women's rights or homeless or dog shelters, whatever it is. Finding an organization that helps the community in some way in that area is a great way to start to get involved with an organization. And so I would encourage you to get on a committee or just volunteer, and you will be able to find great ways to get involved with those organizations. I think the challenge is, and this goes to, I think, our next question is, you can spend a lot of time volunteering and getting involved in community organizations, and that can be somewhat challenging to manage that time. And so you want to make sure that it's something that you're passionate about. But in my case, I've actually pulled back on my community service right now over the last several years because I want to be around more for my children, and my job requires me to travel a bunch. And so I'm not doing as much community involvement right now that I probably would like to do. But I imagine once all of my kids are off in college and on their own, that I'll have more time to be able to devote to causes that I am passionate about in the community. So it's a balancing act. And it's really important that you get involved in organizations that you're passionate about, and that you understand how much you're able to give of your time, talent, and treasure, because they will be happy to take as much of it as you will let them.
All right, to finish it off, what advice would you give to some young professionals about the importance of the giving back to the community and how to get started? You already touched a little bit about how to get started, but at least what advice would you give?
Yeah, I think, like I said, I think finding an organization that you're really passionate about, and whether it's making a small donation or whether it's just going to one of their events or volunteering at one of their events, or you know, just sitting down with a staff member to understand what the impact that that organization is having, who they're serving, and how they're making an impact in the community is probably the best way to start. All these organizations are so happy to have anybody that's expresses an interest in helping them, whether that's with money, whether that's with time, whether that's with chairing, you know, being on a committee or chairing an event. You know, next weekend is Pelotonia, and so I'm going to ride 100 miles to help raise money for cancer, because that's another organization that I'm passionate about. I'm not on the board. I'm not in any kind of leadership, but I am actually just a writer. And I'm just a volunteer, which is really fulfilling for me, but certainly at a different level than I may be doing with other organizations. So I think that you can be as involved as you want to be in any organization. All you have to do is reach out and ask and do a little bit of research just to make sure that it's something that you care about, because they will take as much time, talent, and treasure from you as you're willing to give.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing a little of your knowledge and time with us.
Absolutely, Kai. I'm glad to do it. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for listening to the Student Alumni Council podcast. Join me back here next month when I talk with OSU and SAC alum and current PA student, Paul Schmidt.